My name is Michael Bailey, and you're listening to the EDP Formula One podcast.
We're back. Part two. It's as if we were never away, pretty much. Perry Hamilton, David Tilley are still here with me. Good to see you, gentlemen.
Yeah, good to be here.
We're still hanging around.
Good evening.
We haven't been too far. Let's get on with part two then. We've dissected testing. We've looked through the runners and riders. We know where we are, which means it's ready. It's time for the action. March the 17th, the Sunday, race day. Fair to say, in fact, of course, qualifying will give us a few more clues. First of all, Melbourne. It's a wonderful track, isn't it? I'm thinking it's a great place to kick off the season.
Fantastic. Yeah, absolutely fantastic. If you've ever played any of the more recent Formula One games, if you're anything like me, Melbourne's one of the most enjoyable tracks to go around. I mean, some of them you just get really frustrated and you just think, I want to get to the end of this race because it's annoying me. but Melbourne is just, it's a really nice layout, and it looks that way from when you see it on TV as well. It looks interesting.
It's always good fun.
It is, yeah, and reliable weather as well, which is always nice. The last thing you want is a rain-delayed track or a safety car start or something like that to kick off the season. You want those roaring engines, you want those five lights out, and you want to hit that first corner at full speed.
Well, didn't it drizzle last year?
I think it may have done a little bit.
I think it was wasn't it one of those Jenson Button wins again in changeable conditions things?
It's not quite as hot as Pirelli would probably like from the off.
Is anywhere as hot as Pirelli would probably like?
Mars, maybe. Someone will probably work out Mars isn't actually that hot.
It's further out than we are, isn't it?
Atmospheric conditions. Should I have said Mercury?
Well, that's too hot.
Should we pitch? Mercury. That's my answer.
They'll blister after half a lap.
Yeah,
too much.
I'll chop it in. It's not opening race though. I mean, we're going to get all sorts, aren't we? The last few years, an indication of what awaits. Because Red Bull don't win in Australia.
No. Well, you know, they did the year before, but that they then continued that on throughout. But other than that, I don't think there's any one of us here who could say with any kind of certainty, who's going to be really, really quick. And to be honest, Melbourne won't be that much of a great sort of representation of who's the fastest, because it is very different to a lot of the tracks that we're going to go to for the last.
It's not really a litmus test for the rest of the season.
No. But it will be fun for all of us to watch anyway. So it's going to be
it'll be a cracking race. Yeah,
always is.
And of course, the key thing at the moment: new Pirelli tyres. They've only been around Jerez and Barcelona. Teams have got to work out how they work again.
Yes, a learning process that they're all really looking forward to starting. Yeah.
Bernie's got to sort out a decent testing schedule and actually go to some proper tracks when they do testing. So Jerez, which has apparently got a surface that bears no comparison to any track throughout the entire season, not even Monaco, it's so abrasive that there's no point really testing on it. And then they go to Barcelona twice, which is far too cold, and it's colder than it will be when they actually finally race there. I kind of think, you know, what's going on with the testing? They need to start at least having one flyaway test and go to Abu Dhabi or somewhere that's warm during winter testing,
so they can figure it all out sooner. Why would we want them to do
from
a fan's perspective, yes, maybe it would be a little bit less interesting, but no, from the team's point of view, they're already frustrated because they're kind of thinking, well, what's the point of even going to Jerez other than the fact that we can plod the car around for a while and see if anything breaks.
Okay then, well, I'll ask you in a bit for a poll and a race winner, mm-hmm, or a prediction. So obviously we've got to restart our prediction league.
I'm coming to win it this
kicking
year.
Kicking it off.
I'll tell you, I'm full, you know, hard and fast. Go hard or go home.
Breaking news, the Oracle has confirmed he wants to be on the podcast this year, Mr. Kyle Cumbers. So just so you know.
There it goes, doesn't it?
Just sorry about that.
Brilliant. Kiss that one goodbye.
One thing
I've totally Grosjean that. I'm out at the first corner.
Sergio Perez, was it last year or the year before, where he had a fantastic run on only two sets of tyres before then ultimately getting penalised for having an illegal car or rear wing. But just wonder if he might, for the fact that I've maybe questioned what kind of season he'll have, whether this might be somewhere for him to excel early.
Could be. I would, well, no, I don't want to get too close to predictions before we get to predictions.
No, let's do it. Let's bring him in. Let's get straight into the predictions, David.
Okay.
No holding back.
I'm going to go on form, and I'm going to say Jenson Button's going to win.
And yeah, I mean, his record there is ridiculous, isn't it?
Three out of the last four.
Almost an expectation rather than a prediction.
Yeah, I think so. And I think, he clearly runs well. He loves the Melbourne track. I think the McLaren will probably be quite good there, even though it's probably not going to be on its top form. I'm gonna stick with my boy and say he's going to do it.
Does that mean you think McLaren will be quickest when it comes to qualifying?
I think it will be so close that it will be hard to say.
Yes, possibly down to a few hundredths of a second, David.
Very vague answer. Qualifying is a harder one to say. I think it's potentially, I would say the Lotuses might be quite exciting.
It's like he's reading my mind here. I think a Lotus will be on pole, I must admit. I'm not sure about race win. I think that's a difficult one. But could be a Lotus as well.
Come on, race win. You've already given us your pole.
Well, I think it'll be a Lotus on pole and race win. I'm not sure. I'd edge Kimi.
Right, and who's going to win your race?
Well, I think it would be the same person.
Okay, so you think a pole, lead, finish, win. Unlike David's safe bet Tillier over here in the corner.
Charles Peake.
I'm not going to go with three out of the last four or whatever. I know the Prediction League doesn't give points for flair and fancy, but I don't care, because I'm going to win and I'm going to look good doing it.
I might add kudos points in this
kudos
year.
Points. Now, you see, Lewis Hamilton's going to win this race.
Oh.
Maiden drive for Mercedes. Lewis Hamilton's going to win this race. You think he's not hearing all of the talk. You think that he's not paying attention to all of the media work. He is. He knows exactly what's being said about him. He knows exactly what's being said about his decision to drive for a different team and a team that appears to be struggling. Lewis is going to perform. That car is going to perform. Very quick car, and Lewis is going to prove that he made the right decision. Lewis Hamilton's going to win that race.
What a wonderful prediction. Mm. If there are to be kudos points added, you've just probably got one for that.
And he'll stick it on pole. He'll do the fastest qualifying lap, and then he'll win that race.
Yeah, that could be a good bet.
See, that I wouldn't be totally unsurprised about with Lewis getting pole, that is, because he can, if anyone can do it, he can do it.
And the Mercedes had pretty good early qualifying pace, if I remember rightly, but that was a DRS backed issue. I've just realised I've started this year like last year, backing Kimi Raikkonen, as if I never learn anything. Shocking.
Sticking to your guns.
Yeah. Well, I think we're going to wrap it up there. I think it's about time we stop talking and let the racing arrive, which I'm sure we cannot wait. It's been far too long. Perry, David, thank you so much for joining me. Appreciate it. As per usual, all you out there, there will be updates on the goings on at Caterham and Lotus at edp24.co.uk/F1, where you can also find a link to this podcast and where you can subscribe via iTunes. We've got a new Twitter feed as well, at EDPF1. There'll be various bits and bobs on there over the season. So keep follow that. Keep in touch. You can also follow me at Michael J. Bailey. And you two have Twitter handles, don't you?
Yeah, do you know, I don't think I've actually checked my Twitter since Formula One finished.
So you will now, obviously.
So obviously I'm going to be back on it with a vengeance. I still don't follow Michael Bailey, but mine is at PedHD56.
But we're still on the same team, you see.
That's true. It's not going to be awkward.
Lewis split over that, probably, with Jensen. David?
No, you can get me on Twitter at Dave Tillier, which, if you can spell that correctly and find me on Twitter, then you deserve to be a follower.
Oh my goodness, he's setting a challenge. Is
there no Twitter handle for iPiston?
There is, at iPiston, quite simply.
That worked out quite well.
Yeah, you can probably spell that one.
Yeah, no hyphen in that one.
No hyphen.
I was going to buy the nohyphen.com web address, but they wanted 930 quid for it, so...
Wow.
Yeah.
Let it never be said that money stood in the way of Dave Tillier's quest for automotive journalism.
Who would have thought hyphens were so expensive?
Who would have thought? See, I would have put my money on Ampersands being the one that had the money in them. But
wow. They're probably five figures.
Yeah.
I think we should end it there on that grammatical bombshell. Thank you all for listening. Thank you, gentlemen, for joining us. We will be back with a podcast post-Australia to dissect the opening exchanges of the Formula One season. We cannot wait. Enjoy Australia. Bye for now.